Also, many and varied are the choices when it comes to dog food. Here's something I haven't touched on the programme ever before, but it crosses my mind almost every day because I buy dog food and I think to myself, you know, if I was really hungry, could I take a spoonful of that or would it kill me? 93% of UK dog owners in Northern Ireland are uncertain of what they're feeding their dogs. Less than 1 in 5 always read the ingredients on their dog food. Gosh, I never thought of reading the ingredients other than it says, you know, with turkey or with lamb or something. Less than half, that's 42%, are confident they are feeding their dogs a healthy diet. 98% welcome a healthy eating regime for dogs. And despite being championed as a nation of animal lovers, dog owners in Northern Ireland are still in the dark when it comes to the contents of their dog's dinner. That is a fair enough point. Patrick Horton is an expert in the field. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, Patrick. Now, I know you're going to be flogging something here because you're associated with the people who commissioned the survey and you're all into promoting healthy food for dogs. If I buy my dog, as I do, the bargain basement, whatever it is, the sort of turkey and lamb mix that comes in the tin and it's in gravy and you give it a shake and it falls out into the plate and he gobbles it up. What's he eating?
Well, the thing is, it does really depend on the brand you're buying and what the recipe is. But I suppose what we're trying to do is we're trying to help people understand what to look for. So you know, it's difficult to know what will be in that tin. But if in terms of trying to understand what you should be looking for, it's very simple and in many ways almost quite similar to what you'd be looking for when you're buying food for yourself. You know, dog's going to need high meat content. So you're going to be wanting to make sure that the meat level is around about 70-75%. You're going to try and make sure that there's not meat derivatives. So, you know, you'll often see it'll just say animal derivatives or say something that's not very specific and you've got no real idea what that is. And
so what exactly would they be putting in instead of meat? Give me examples.
Well, instead of meat, it's more... So instead of getting the
or what's derived from the meat.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more, I suppose, the term that people may recognise is the mechanically recovered meat. So at the end of, when every single bit of goodness has been taken off that carcass, the bits that are left, they are in effect the derivatives. So
the dog's eating the tail and the ears, is that?
Well, yeah, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with the tail and the ears, and there's plenty of pig's ears that are enjoyed by lots of dogs. But I suppose it's just knowing what you're buying. So if it says 75% meat, you want to know what that meat is. So ideally, if it says it's 75% lamb, what you don't want to do is then look on the back and in the small print it says if it says it's a lamb recipe and you think it's going to be all lamb because that's what's on the front of the pack, if you then go to the back of the pack and you see, all right, there's lamb, but actually most of it is other meat, say chicken or turkey, now that may be fine, but actually you may have just wanted to have bought your pet lamb, and some dogs don't like chicken or whatever. So having clarity about what's actually inside that recipe is incredibly important.
Can a dog food manufacturer put offal in the tin?
Yeah, absolutely. And things like tripe are a big favourite, and they're highly recommended for many pets. So there's nothing wrong with all sorts of different parts of the animal. It's not all about having to just have the prime cuts, but it's just making sure you know what you're actually what's actually within that meal that you're buying food.
My stomach's sort of turning because I was expecting you to say no only on very rare occasions and
if it was
clearly labelled. So just
tripe is great, for example. Tripe is great. Has lots of high levels of vitamins in it. Liver, all those liver, they're good elements of the animal, and there's lots of nutrients in there.
But is there a chance that a lot of tins of dog food is just they've put it all into the cement mixer, all the stuff that would go in the skip, and it's all spun round and nothing's wasted and everything's in there?
Yeah, I don't want to put down other manufacturers, but there will definitely be if it can't be specified as to what it really is, you really want to be scratching your head about why you want to be giving it to your dog.
But are there laws that say there's a certain part of an animal that can't go into a dog food tin?
Yeah, absolutely. There's very strict laws, and there's very strict laws in terms of the ingredients decks and that ingredient declarations and all those elements. But it's just it's just not that easy for, you know, for everyone to quickly understand, you know, what they're buying. And I think the main thing, you know, from the survey that we did was, you know, we are dog lovers. We, you know, we are pet lovers, and 98%, you know, virtually everyone, you know, quite understandably, you know, wants to give their, you know, give their animals a healthy diet, wants to feed them the right food. The problem is that they don't quite know what they should be looking for. And I think that's the biggest head scratch. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to give people some very simple guides as to what to look for. And if they follow that, then it will be good. And I suppose the bit that is so important is it is such a, what you feed your dog is such a driver of how they behave, how happy they are, the relationship that you'll have with your dog. I mean, there's nothing quite like feeding your pet something that they absolutely love, and they, you know, they look good. You know, that whole relationship, you know, is very built on you know what we feed our animals and how we look after them. So, you know, it's really essential to having a happy pet.
I do notice that the more you spend on the tin of dog food, or the sexier the label, the more they do seem to enjoy it. The more expensive stuff probably tastes better. Not everyone can afford to buy the upper end. And I personally go into the supermarket, and very often it's, you know, you can get 25 tins for $4.99, and you think that's a good bargain, and you give them that food, and you're wondering, you know, do I need to give them something more nourishing, maybe straight from the kitchen as well? Is it a good idea to, you know, if you have a leftover piece of chicken, to cut it up and give it to the dog or not?
Again, it all comes down to knowing what you're giving your dog. So, I mean, it's absolutely fine to give your dog, you know, leftover bits of chicken and that sort of thing, but you have to sort of understand how much you're feeding your dog within the day. So if you give your dog their food in the morning and then that bit of chicken that's left over, you know, from a meal is in addition to that, then that's an issue. If you're giving your dog lots of different things, so, you know, what I found was, you know, quite fascinating is that we have 9,000 taste buds, whereas on average dogs have about 1,700, so a lot less taste buds. Dogs are really looking for a tasty, nutritious meal that they're going to, you know, get stuck into, and it's going to make them feel full, make them feel, you know, that they've eaten what they want to eat. They're not looking for all sorts of different, interesting tastes and lots of variety and all that. So that's very much a human thing. So if you're constantly giving your dog additional bits of food, then they're likely to be overweight, or they could end up being overweight. But also, you know, it can unsettle them, you know, in terms of their insides. If, you know, if they're getting, you know, sometimes a nice bit of lean turkey, and other times they're getting some quite rich food, it's going to, you know, potentially unsettle them. So ideally, what you want to be doing is, you know, if you understand what's within the tin or the tray or whatever format the dog food's coming, if you understand what's in there, if you're looking at that rather than being led by the packaging or the advertising or anything like that, just put all that to one side and just make sure that, you know, that what's in the tin is what your dog needs. And it is very, you know, it is pretty simple. It's a high meat content, something around 75%. Make sure you sort of understand what it is. So if it says chicken, it is chicken. There's not some general term. A bit of grain and things like that are good, because there's obviously a feeling that pet food can be bulked up with fillers, which can be the case. But what you're looking for is you're looking for lots of meat, and then the other element, the other 25%, to contain things like brown rice, so whole grains, or sweet potato, which has got lots of vitamins in it and is gentle on dog's stomach. So you're looking for that extra bit, to be good quality, to have high nutrient content. So it's all relatively straightforward. If you see anything artificial on there, don't go for it. I mean, there's plenty of flavorings and colorings and all sorts of things that can be put into pet food. But there's also minerals and vitamins and nutrients that will also be added, which are a good thing, to make sure that meal is a complete meal and your dog doesn't need to eat anything else.
Well, you're certainly promoting the natural approach. I'm not surprised, because you're associated with the Hounsley Brothers Clean Eating for Dogs booklet at www.fourthglade.com/clean-eating if you're really into giving your dog what is obviously going to cost a little more, but state-of-the-art type food. Patrick, one final question, and it has to do with the contents off the tin of dog food. If you were really stuck, if you were hungry, if you were feeling, I can't get into the house to get anything, I'm locked in the dog house and there's one tin of food sitting there and I haven't eaten for 3 days. If as a human you ate it, would it kill you?
No. I mean, I'm not recommending it. There's obviously very tight rules and restrictions about food that can be sold to humans. But a couple of days ago, we did get a bit of feedback from one of our customers who said that their husband was asking where the dog food was, and she kept saying, it's in the fridge. And then he said, what do you mean it's in the fridge? I've been looking. And she said, oh, it's in the white tray. And he pulled out the white tray and said, oh, I've been using that for my sandwiches.
Oh, dear, oh, I can't, I can't.
Fine, if my wife... there is nothing in a good quality dog food. It's natural ingredients. It's good, healthy food. But obviously, it goes within the pet food restrictions and regulations as opposed to the human food one. So I'm not recommending it.
Absolutely. Patrick, good speaking to you. Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Patrick Horton, the idea of putting dog food in the fridge absolutely turns my stomach. That would lead to... lead to divorce in our house if I opened the fridge and there was dog food on one of the trays. Thomas is a point. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Are you a dog owner, Thomas?
I am indeed.
Do you go for the 25p, 30p, a tin type food, or are you more upmarket than that?
Well, Frank, I'm actually in the dog business. We are the Wombat Group. We are a local business based in Belfast.
So what's your, you know, if I was feeding my dog your food, which one would I be feeding him?
Well, what we do now, Frank, we are not biased in regards to what food you're using or what we encourage to use. We basically have the agency for quite a lot of the well-known high street brands. So we work with the likes of the Royal Canine, the James Well Beloved, basically right down to the Red Mills, which is a local company.
Gosh, Thomas, you're the man I need. Right, so I've just, you know, Patrick's across in England. He's no good to me. But you're local here. So yeah. What I need would be a significant number of samples to see which floats my dog's boat.
Exactly, Frank. And that's what our company has been introduced to the local market for. You know, we do the mobile pet shops. So we are covering around the likes of the East Belfast, the Ards Peninsula, right through Bangor, Ards, where we will actually give free nutritional advice to all the local pet owners. So we will do that on a free basis, where we will call out the population. We find shops a wee bit for price. So they will enter the market and they will look for the best value, which you know yourself, Frank, that sometimes doesn't reflect the quality of the product that you're actually receiving. Okay. A lot of the companies do put quite a lot of detail on the product, but sometimes the pet owners don't really look into the details, more the price.
Yeah, well, people very often, of course, buy based on price because they think the dog will eat anything. And also, when you find a tin that he does like, you'll stick with that tin because they can be fussy. They'll turn their nose up at something else. And it can very often be the cheap tin, but that isn't necessarily doing the dog the best of good, if that's not an old country way of saying things. Thomas, just stay on the line there because I think Pamela wants to ask you a question. Pamela, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Pamela.
Good morning. I have a dog. She's a bitch. Beautiful, beautiful wee dog. But she's destroying the lawn with peeing on it. And somebody told me it was to do with the food and the possibly a strong dose of protein in her food. Could you suggest a food that I could give the dog that would be kinder to the lawn?
Well, Pam, at the minute now, we are working with a company over in England. It's called Woof and Brew. And what they do a lot of teas, tonics. They don't really do so much on the food sector. But in regards to what where you brought in there, that it's the high protein that's causing the problem, it's not something that we have came across. It's more to do with the female or the bitch dog will basically be the one that destroys the lawn. Now, we have introduced what we call a happy lawn. Okay, it's kind of a tonic or a tea, where you just add it into their bowl or you put it into the water, and it completely neutralizes and will stop the burning effect on the grass. Now, that is something that's a new range there, Pamela, that we have introduced into the mobile shops. So again, you're happy to, we can send you out a wee bit of information on that.
I tried a thing called Dog Rocks, and it's quite expensive, and they only last about 6 weeks, and they have done absolutely nothing. So I'm willing to give anything a go.
Okay. Well, as I said, the one that we are running with at the minute, and we have found really, really good results from it, would be what you call Happy Lawn. Okay, very, very well named.
Sounds very good.
Yeah, but as I said, it's a small tonic that you just mix in with the water, and as I said, it will neutralise it. So, listen, by all means, I'll give Frank our contact number, and anyone else that's willing to try something like that or get a bit of free nutritional advice, you're more than welcome to contact the Wombat Group, and as I said, I'll get the number out there to everybody that's listening.
Okay, Pamela, that might be maybe of some advantage to you, the Happy Lawn product, which I've never heard of before. But you could try it. It could be useless, but it might be the answer to your problems. But thank you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Thomas, just one final question, because I appreciate you giving us a ring on this on a day when we're talking about dog nutrition. Do you really feel, and obviously you do, that there's a market for the service that you provide? Maybe I'm, putting the dog too far down the list when it comes to the choices that I'm making for him.
Right.
There are people who really push the boat out for their dogs.
Oh, absolutely. We have found, the popularity between the selection of food that's out there and the people that are willing to spend, over £50, £50 to £70 on a bag that's going to last a month. But those type of customers know the effects of the food. You're going to have a much happier dog. You're going to have a dog full of energy that wants to go out for the walk. But it's the long-term benefits, Frank, as well. We always find if you get a dog at a puppy stage, really within the first 8 months, on the good food, the benefits are going to be basically in year 2 to 7, where you're going to not be going to the vet as much. You're really going to save yourself quite a lot of money.
Yeah, so it's speculating to accumulate and all of that. Thomas, I'm out of time. I'm actually out of time on it. Some people are asking, do you have a website?
We don't have a website at the minute, Frank. The group that we are working with is called the Wombat Group. So in regards to the website for the mobile pet shops, you can certainly get us on Facebook. It's just under the Wombat Mobile Pet Shop. Or you can give us a call. It's on 02890 769661.
769661.
And it'll be Stuart or Thomas that you can come through to. And as I said, we are happy to do house visits, house calls. Anybody that's thinking of changing their food or wants a wee bit of advice on the food, we are happy to call out at any stage.
Okay, our advertising department will be giving you a ring if I keep you on any longer. But Thomas, thanks for the steer. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. So there's Thomas very much into it as well. Patrick is listening to all of that. So, Patrick, dog owners, they do certainly take their pets very seriously.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, as exactly as Thomas said, the importance of feeding your pet the right food and good food right from the very beginning is central. And, our business, Fourth Glade, we've been around since 1971, making nutritionally balanced meals. And, it's just the most important thing. We're all passionate about the pets that we own ourselves, and so we understand that giving your dog the right food it just makes such a difference to their lives, and making a difference to their lives it makes a big old difference to ours. So yeah, it is fundamental.
Okay,
that's Patrick. And it doesn't have to be expensive. So
no, thank you, Patrick from Fourth Glade. One final question: someone's asking, can you give raw meat to a dog?
Yes, you can. You can give raw meat to a dog, and obviously, that's what they will eat in the wild. All you want to be a bit careful about is obviously the handling of raw meat within your home. So unless you're careful about the raw meat that you're buying, there is the potential for problems like salmonella. So
okay.
You just have to be careful with the way you handle it.
Lovely job. Thank you indeed. Thanks to Connor for asking the question. Patrick Horton there. Thank you, Patrick.